Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is Running IT Like a Teenager. Our guests for today's show are Ron Thiem, who's the Vice President and CIO with AIT Laboratories. Hey, Ron, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Sancho. I'm doing just fine.
Very good, very good. So you're enjoying the warm weather already in Indianapolis?
We are, absolutely. It is June in Indianapolis, and we had a big race here, as you may know, last month, and we're enjoying the nice warm weather that June brings.
Beautiful. Now, we also have Mike Capone, who's the Corporate Vice President and CIO with Automatic Data Processing, that is ADP. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Sanjay. Pleasure to be back.
Yes, and so in this case, when we are talking about running IT like a teenager, people are taken aback. What are you talking about? Have you ever thought about what a teenager do? Whenever we talk about them, we are looking at, they will never listen to us. They would want to have their own world, and they would not be obedient. So if we were to be in IT and if we did not have command and control, we will all fail miserably. That's the lifestyle that we've been living all along. However, is that what is going to foster a creative environment and place where we will grow and think out of the box? Ron?
Well, Sanjog, I have twin sons who are about to turn 14 tomorrow. So this
very
is
very timely, huh? Very timely,
yeah.
Topic.
Turn 14. This is very relevant both personally and professionally for me. I think teenagers are wondrous beings. One of the things that one of my sons and I are doing to maintain a close connection as they move through their teenage years is to actually do flying lessons together. We had our first instructed flight lesson just a couple of days ago, and I learned a lot of things from that about teenagers and how they think and act and behave, and here's some of the things I learned. Number one, teenagers are sponges. They soak up information at a rate that I think is much higher than those of us who are older, and they do it in different ways, and they do it sometimes in ways that you can't even tell is going on. So teenagers are sponges. Number two, they can learn at a much faster rate than adults. Number three, we think of teenagers as being undisciplined. You know, we talk about working outside and thinking outside the box, but I think teenagers can be incredibly disciplined when they are focused on a goal and when they are focused on achieving their passions. The difference is teenagers don't have the life experiences that the rest of us have.
So, Mike, how do you define a teenager and what the mindset that we are talking they are having at this time? If the same mindset was to be brought in an organization, that will be utter chaos.
Right. So first, I have to admit to being woefully underqualified compared to Ron, given his 14-year-old twin. So I do have a 2-year-old who I struggle with authority for her, but not into the teenage years yet. I do have nieces and nephews, though, that are teenagers. You know, I think, you know, Ron hit on some nice themes. You know, I think the analogy of teenagers and raising teenagers and the IT profession is an interesting one. And, you know, like Ron said, you have to let them explore their boundaries. So, you know, as I was thinking about, you know, the topic of this interview, I thought about how you raise children, and the answer is, you know, you have to keep them on the right path. You have to empower them to make decisions and think outside the box without getting into too much trouble, right? That's the parents' role, to set these boundaries. And it's the same in IT. When we ask people to innovate, when we ask people to take risks, we have to be able to create an environment where they can do that. If they don't succeed, you pick them up, you dust them off, but you have to give them a safe environment where, you know, that type of behavior is okay.
Now, you mentioned that you would like to run IT with other people being teenager. Now, let's take it to the next level. How about the IT leadership behaving like a teenager, thinking the way a teenager thinks, of course, leaving alone the negative and crazy aspects of what teenager, you know, group brings, But then there are certain things which even as a leader could bring to the table, because that's how you'd be able to foster an environment.
I think that's absolutely right, Sanjo. This is Ron. I think that it's incumbent upon us as leaders to think a bit always like teenagers, and that is thinking outside the box, creating situations that have both success or failure as an ultimate outcome, and being intentional about creating those situations. I think that learning organizations do that very well, and that as leaders, we're responsible for creating those kinds of learning organizations and even setting up scenarios that allow the folks report to us to be successful or to fail, but most importantly, to take away key learnings from that they can apply later.
So being the captain of the ship, would you change your inherent behavior, what you have very well set, hardwired into you, the way you think, the way you process information, the way you acquire and absorb information? How difficult is it for an individual who is at that level, and I'm sure they would be anywhere between 35 and 45 or more in terms of age, to let go? And is truly age the limiting factor here?
So this is Mike. I don't think age is a limiting factor. You know, as leadership, obviously, you have multiple responsibilities, right? The business depends on you to provide reliable IT services and keep the business running. At the same time, you're leading innovation. But at any age, you can be open to innovation. I think as leaders, the challenge for us is to recognize the chemistry of the team we have, and that some people are going to be wired on your team to innovate and to try new things and to be a little bit less risk-averse than others. And it's almost like a sports analogy. You have to be the coach of the team, and you have to manage the players that you have. So I think as leaders, we need to wear both hats, the one that nurtures the innovative talent that we have, but also, you know, manages the performers who are, you know, keeping the ship afloat and making sure that we are managing business risk appropriately.
Can you eat the cake and have it too? Because you mentioned I want to provide reliability, but at the same time, you also go out and say, I want to do something crazy, which, of course, is not going to hurt the organization, but people should be able to laugh it off if it really turns out to be something which is not going to deliver the results that we weren't, you know, trying to get out of it. Would you be able to do that, Mike?
Yeah, this is Ron. I guess I would bring back that example of, now you have to imagine the situation. I was actually in an airplane with one of my teenagers, and my teenager was flying the airplane for the first time ever. So, you know, we get worried about when our teenagers are ready to start driving cars. You can take this to the next level and imagine the situation. But the key there is, too, I think, in flying an airplane, you have to do certain things exactly right. There is no choice. There is no chance for creativity when you're landing an airplane. So the discipline part is there. But it's the exploration part that has to go alongside that so that we can learn. Learning how to do a turn, learning how to do a climb or a descent, learning how to fly straight and level. I think it's the same way with our IT organizations. We are bound to our customers to provide them with service, with security, with privacy, with timely, cost-effective solutions, but the ways in which we do that, I think, can be set up so that we can bring totally new approaches to the table, while living within the expectations that we're setting for our internal customers.
Now, who we have as teenagers today, or you could say a more mature form, is the Gen Y right now. That's going to become the bulk of our workforce, and they will also become the leaders. Do you think they will go through the same maturity cycle, given the way they are today, or the new breed, if you will, that's coming out? That's what IT is going to be comprised of. Are we truly leading that Gen Y, or getting ready for that teenage, which is going to be even crazier, if you will, I mean, in a simpler term, not overgeneralizing it? Are we becoming ready as ourselves to really have an environment which they can be, adopting or embracing, so that they are achieving their true potential? Because I think the way a leader can be looked at, if the person is a successful leader, is that the person gets the best out from every person in the team. So, Mike, what do you think? Are we going in that direction, or we are still stuck with our command and control?
I think we're in transition, right? So I think this next generation is coming into the workforce now, and I think we're seeing a very different approach to, you know, everything from problem solving to how we think about and use technology to work-life balance, right? So I think management is transitioning, and in some cases it's doing a better job than in others. One thing for sure about this next generation is they need context, right? You use the phrase command and control, which I think is interesting. You know, when I was growing up, my father would say to me, you know, when I said why, it was, well, because I'm your father and I said so, right? And that worked for me. That was a really good reason for me. This generation is a little bit different, right? So children need input. They need context. They need to understand why things are the way they are. And when they challenge them, you have to indulge them. And it's the same in business leadership. I think as leaders, we need to start creating an environment where people are part of the overall strategy, part of the vision, and we link, you know, the things that we're asking them to do to, you know, our overall picture and get their buy-in. And that's something that I think we've traditionally haven't done as well at as we could, but I am seeing certainly in my organization and with a lot of the CIOs that I talk to and network with, they're making this transition as well.
Now, if we were to say that the IT leadership, especially folks at the CIO level, they definitely have to, you know, run this whole organization, so they are able to adopt relatively with ease, and or even if there's some difficulty, they're able to overcome that. How about along the chain of command? Because frankly, the people who could be unruly and or Gen Y or people who are in teenage today would convert into workforce tomorrow, they will be managed by not you directly. They will be managed by people who are, who may not have this flexibility of transitioning themselves, because they themselves had this old, I told you so, so that's what you have to do it, and they're not able to break those molds, if you will. So how do you convert them also as a clone of you down there? Ron.
Well, I think there are a number of ways that you can work that particular problem. One is you have to create space. You have to create space for innovation and for good things to happen. Create space for failures to happen, too, because that's the way teenagers learn. And I think that's the way we learn as adults in many ways, too. I always get nervous when I see organizations that don't allow failure. We need to allow failure. We need to be able to talk about failure, and we need to be able to glean individually and collectively what those key learnings are. That's how we grow individually and collectively. I think that, too, and Mike referenced this as well, that it's very important for individuals to understand their strengths, and it's important for teams to understand their strengths. Tom Rath with the Gallup organization has done some great work with his book, StrengthsFinder 2.0. Marcus Buckingham, Go Put Your Strengths to Work, similar kinds of books, talking about how we give space for people to understand what activities strengthen them, make them stronger, give them energy, versus what activities weaken them and draw energy away. Once we can get the conversation around that, and once we can slot people in on teams to focus on their strengths, I think then we start having high-performing organizations, and we can overcome some of these areas of resistance that you're talking about, Sanjog.
Mike, what have you done which has worked, and what may have not worked when you're trying to change the culture to become the maverick IT organization that you would always like to see?
I think, you know, picking up on Ron's comments, you know, he's talking about creating a culture where, you know, there's acceptable risks that can be taken, but there's also some accountability for those risks, you know, as they occur. You know, culture should transcend changes in the organization. So as we think about the next generation of leadership, as we think about, you know, the management changes that inevitably happen, we have a much more mobile workforce, meaning people tend to change companies a little bit more frequently than they did in past days. You know, if you're evangelizing your vision for the organization, if you're reinforcing your vision and the values that we're talking about here, about innovation, about calculated risk-taking, some of the teenage behaviors that we're referencing, I think that can transcend any kind of shift in people in the organization. And then, you know, last, I think a really important part of it is we put a high value on mentoring. So the way that we reinforce the culture is, you know, new employees are mentored. They're assigned somebody who actually helps assimilate them into this environment that we've created and helps them understand boundaries and make sure that they understand the framework by which we can take these risks.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and look at that. While the IT leadership would love to have this teenage mentality in the IT organization, including transforming themselves into a teenager, how will the rest of the business entities and or executive management look at this transformation, which may not be transformation for them, it might be something crazy? How do you explain this to them? How do you prevent them from spoiling what you're trying to do, and how will you prevent the organization which you are trying to change to get affected or not get as much emphasis, or you can say not as much impact from the outside negative influence, because you're trying to change, but outside world wants to resist change. How do you control this? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back and discuss.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.avol.com today. Avol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Avol delivers. To find out how Avol can help your company, visit www.avol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.avol, A-V-V-A-L, avol.com. Visit today.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
There are two fundamentals required for business success today. The first is a robust strategy, one that's in sync with the marketplace and has a focus on delivering value. The second business fundamental is talent. The single biggest factor in the sustained health of a company is having the right people in the right roles doing the right things. Join Michael Couch, the president of Michael Couch & Associates, each week as he explores elements of these two fundamentals on The Voice of Business Growth, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So we all want to be crazy like a teenager. We want to run our IT organization with no bounds and deliver the best and have a ball while doing so. The sudden change or even incremental change in our behavior, including demonstrated by the IT leadership, if at all, that are ready to demonstrate that teenage behavior, how is that looked at by the executive leadership or by the different business units who are going to be looking up to us to provide that same old reliable IT, and because they have this old connection with craziness being or teenager behaving like a teenager means unpredictable, unreliable. What kind of resistance you'll get, and how is that going to jeopardize your whole culture changing initiative, if you will? Mike?
So, you know, from my perspective, a couple of things. One is, you know, prior to taking on the role of CIO, I was one of those operating people. I was a business leader. I ran our global operation for our multinational business. So I understand the business side of it. At ADP, we have a culture that's very results-oriented. So my business partners are less focused on how we get there. They just want IT to be able to deliver the reliable services they need, but also deliver the innovation that's going to make us competitive. So I don't really look to our business partners to worry about the culture that we create. They're very accepting of, you know, how I manage to be able to get there. And at the same time, you know, they have their cultures and their ways of doing business where, you know, in the HR payroll world that we live in, you know, sometimes innovation is less required. You really do need to stay in the box. So I also trust them to manage their business, not worry that the IT culture is going to bleed over into areas where it shouldn't.
So would you say, can multiple cultures coexist?
Oh, absolutely, and they do. I mean, we have cultures, you know, we're the largest HR BPO provider in the world, and, you know, we have a culture where we have to deliver for our customers process outsource services, and, you know, that's a very defined process, and our customers expect a lot of consistency in that space. But in our IT world, in our marketing world, there are creative cultures, there are innovative cultures, and they exist side by side every day.
Yeah, and from an AIT laboratories perspective, we're kind of operating from a different direction in comparison to ADP. So we are much smaller, but I'm guessing we probably also have a much younger workforce. I think the average age for the entire company is something on the order of 34 years old. So, you know, we have folks, lots of folks working here who in very recent memory were teenagers. I think the key here is that we just have a tremendous amount of passion around achieving specific objectives. And our objectives are growth-related, they're quality of product-related. We are in a heavily regulated industry. So we have to do things right. We are a bioanalytical processing laboratory. So we look at human and animal tissue samples, and we essentially turn that into information. For our clients, we tell them with great specificity what drugs or chemicals might be in those samples, and we have to guarantee that those results are right, often to the extent of appearing before judges and juries and testifying that those results are correct. So when I say that we have to create room for experimentation and failure, it is not failure around the quality of product that we make available to our clients. But I think that having a younger workforce, they demand an environment where they can follow their passions and where they can create those kinds of excellent results while growing personally and professionally. And I think that's how we are able to run IT like teenagers, following passions that lead to disciplined approaches that produce exceptional results. It almost sounds like a contradiction, but I think those pieces can be knit together to be very effective.
So, Ron, if you were to behave like a teenager, I mean, not literally, but, you know, in those areas that we're talking about, to become the leader in bringing about that change, would you say there would be a risk with respect to you losing that respect and or people looking up to you to lead them, because then you are demonstrating something that they may be doing it, they will feel that you're one of them. So why follow this guy? Why this person can be a Pied Piper now?
Yeah, well, you know, my wife does often recognize that I do act like a teenager, so there's some substantiation to your premise there. But I think culture, Mike mentioned this, culture is incredibly important. And you know, culture is the domain of the executive team. And as CIOs, as members of that executive team, I think our number one priority is to articulate and plan what the culture needs to be and not just let the culture happen on its own. This is not a time for ad hoc approaches or laissez-faire approaches. I think culture is worthy of time and attention and planning and engineering, if you will. So in that context, looking at how running IT like a teenager or even running other parts of the business like a teenager can be a very productive conversation. One of my acquaintances is Jerry McCartney. He is the CIO at Purdue University. And one of his observations is that IT organizations have to first show operational credibility before they are allowed to engage in strategic conversation, before they can be strategically relevant. I think the same thing is true here, that we have to continually connect our culture to the results that we're producing so that we're operationally credible, and then we can have those conversations about culture.
Risk versus paranoia. One of the reasons also people have this issue with this teenage is that they are going to take risks, and sometimes they may go beyond what the what people will call as a reasonable risk. Now, that what the definition of reasonable is what is subjective. So if you were to truly turn into a teenager or run IT like a teenager, the word risk, can you go beyond what your comfort level is today, and is that the right thing to do? Because sometimes taking that risk is what's going to take you to that quantum leap that you want in an organization for them to get to the next level. You might get pat on the back, but if things don't go well, there's a risk, of course, of getting fired. So, but would you like to behave like a teenager, Mike?
So, you know, you mentioned the word paranoid. You know, I'm not paranoid. I just worry about my job every day, right? And that's because of the, you know, again, the amount of information and the responsibility that my customers entrust with me. So I take it very seriously. So the question as to, you know, where you would take these risks, it really is where. So I own all of the IT operations. It's, you know, the day-to-day processing, the data centers. That's clearly an area where I wouldn't be taking risks, right? You know, maybe some risks around innovating around virtualization or trying to come up with, you know, new cost-saving techniques, et cetera, but in a very controlled way. You know, I also own the R&D organization, which is developing new products, and that's where, you know, taking risks, innovation, leveraging a new technology that, you know, maybe isn't mainstream yet, and, you know, where you might go down a road on a project that ultimately you decide, you know, sometime down the road, you know, it's not going to pan out. That's okay. Those are the risks to me that are very, very acceptable, and I'm very comfortable standing up in front of management and saying, you know, we tried something and it didn't work. And, you know, it doesn't need to be, you know, quote, maverick, you know, types of behavior, right? We just need to separate out the things that we like about, you know, the teenage mentality, you know, the creativity, the agility, the collaboration, and employ that to these business situations. And I think in the right areas, they can be very, very useful.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with Mike on that. I think that sometimes when we talk about risk and teenagers, we tend towards a subjective understanding of what risk is. And I think sometimes that's not a helpful view, that risk can be objective, risk can be quantified, and we can put plans around risk, and we can intentionally take risk. And I think that's incumbent upon us as IT leaders to help our organizations to think about risk in that way and to quantify it, to put plans around it. That way, we can take risks that we deem are acceptable to the organization and, in fact, required for the organization.
So while we want our crew to be like a teenager, and also at the same time we know that there is an issue with respect to them listening to what you have to say. And typical complaint is they don't listen. And so communications become an issue. And we say that the results of what an IT organization can produce, or for that matter, what a business can produce, is heavily dependent on how we communicate and how is that received. So can we, again, behave like a teenager and still expect them to listen exactly the message that has been conveyed? Mike.
You know, from my perspective, what really works well is leadership by example, right? So the kind of one-way communication where it's, you know, do what I say and not what I do tends not to work well in any business, but particularly in IT. So I found that, you know, when you set the example, which is either through your career and the examples that you've provided over the years, or even as the, you know, the incumbent leader, you know, showing what's acceptable business risk, and more importantly, doing things like demonstrating to people that with empowerment comes responsibility and accountability, and then owning up to your own personal stakes and taking responsibility to communicate and learn from them, I think is a very powerful example for the organization that transcends any kind of talk track you could employ with your associates. I mean, it's creating a positive atmosphere around sort of wins and losses, you know, celebrating wins, creating a culture of continuous improvement, you know, and learning from mistakes, and then reinforcing behaviors, right? So when you see something that is really positive, or even if you see something that was, you know, great try, you know, reinforcing that situation with the organization, I think, will serve you really well when you communicate with the troops.
See, as a leader, when you communicate a certain message and it is not being received by the some of the folks who are there in your team, do you think it is necessarily the problem with the person receiving, or there's a there could be a problem with the message as well? Ron?
Oh, I definitely think that we need to both look at the person transmitting the message and the person receiving it. You know, we often characterize teenagers as not listening, but my experience has been that teenagers listen exceptionally well. They just don't listen to everything that you are saying because they are observing what you're doing. They are picking up on cues that you might be sending that you could be totally unaware of, but they listen to those kinds of things very closely, and they soak that stuff up. So I think we see the same kinds of things professionally in our teams, and I appreciate it when people call me out on this because I know that I will be trying to communicate a message that to me is simple, crisp, clear, but it's being received in a totally different way. Then it's my responsibility to shape that message so that it can be received in the appropriate way.
That's an excellent point. I think, you know, we all need channels where we can get informal feedback about how we're communicating because, as Ron mentioned, we think we're crystal clear, we're well thought out, and we know exactly where we want to go. You know, having informal mentors up and down your organization, you know, just associates who confide in you to give you that feedback that, you know, how are you being received, what's the message being received, and, you know, very often the answer is, you know, go look in the mirror rather than, you know, assume that people just aren't hearing you.
As a teenager, how many of us looked for a mentor? Did we? Did we want mentoring?
You know, this is Mike. So, you know, I was very fortunate. I guess I did want mentoring. You know, probably wasn't as conscious of a thought as, you know, it would be today if I was seeking out mentoring. I was, you know, I have a great story in that, you know, my father was a CIO, so it's in my blood. So I was very attached to him and just, you know, kind of followed in his footsteps and always felt like I got the right coaching there. So I never had to sort of seek out, you know, external mentors from my immediate circle there.
I recall being totally oblivious to any mentoring going on when I was a teenager, and it was only my later years when I looked back that I saw some very strong mentors that really shaped some basic conceptions about life for me personally and professionally. So, you know, the concept of mentoring, I think, absolutely important. And I like, Mike, that you folks have, it sounds like, a structured mentoring program that you can use as a tool to grow your organization.
So if a person doesn't want mentoring and we want them to cultivate into a teenager, would there be any other substitute? Because nobody wants to be, you know, looked at and, you know, just be sermoned about, if you will.
Well, what we try to do in those situations is, you know, again, it's by example. So even if it's not formal mentoring, what we'll do is we'll shake up our teams, right? We'll take people who maybe were in one organization, they weren't performing, and put them onto a team that exhibits a certain trait or behavior that we want to rub off on that individual. And, you know, and very often, you know, this sort of, you know, not wanting to disappoint your peers and not wanting to, you know, be the lowest contributor in the group will motivate somebody to really, really perform in a much better way. And we've used that in a number of situations, even taking people completely out of their comfort zone, whether it be a technology, you know, an R&D platform, and just move them into other areas, sort of throw them into the deep end of the pool, and it's amazing how well they've performed.
Now, another behavior that we have seen is the peer pressure that some people have, especially in that age group. And sometimes they would really exceed their own capabilities, or I would say they have more capability, but they do not know. But just because of peer pressure, they're going to show off, and then they're going to go out of those so-called limits that they thought they had. Could that be used to our advantage in bringing the best out of people by producing that peer pressure?
I think so, Sanjog. This is Ron. At AIT, we're a pretty competitive bunch of individuals, and I think a pretty competitive company, but competitive in a very good way. So you will often see on our teams that people are trying to almost one-up each other, and it's always done in with good sportsmanship and with the best interests of the whole team at heart. But I think that's an example of connecting passions to work outcomes. And whether you're dealing with teenagers or employees, I think that's just incredibly important and can't be overstated, that when you are able to align what people are passionate about with what needs to be done in the context of their job, that's when a truly outstanding performance begins. And that's when we start to look like teenagers, because there's just an overwhelming sense of joy and pride that comes from doing the work that we need to do. Work ceases to become work. It just becomes an interesting part of life. And I think if we can get there as organizations and IT leaders, we're going to be so much the better off for it.
I really like that comment, you know, because peer pressure, you know, on the surface can be a good thing or a bad thing, right? The wrong kind of peer pressure can drive conformity and sort of groupthink, which is not the behavior you want in an IT organization. You do want people to come up with new ideas and you know, challenge the status quo. But what Ron just described, where the peer pressure is really around behaviors and achievements and success and wanting to make the entire team better, I think is the exact right way to employ, you know, that strategy.
Now, do you find the IT folks, people who specifically choose IT, wired a little differently than the rest of the people, and there would be some specific flavor off of techniques that you would use to get this teenage mentality injected into them and also control it in a different fashion compared to any other business user?
So this is Mike. You know, I grew up, and I kind of, as I mentioned before, my father was a CIO, so I may have been preordained, you know, in my career path. But I remember growing up, and computer science was very much associated with mathematics, right? Where, in mathematics, we all know there's typically, you know, one answer to every problem. There's the right answer, and then there's, you know, everything else. And clearly, that's something that happens in IT, right? There's a group that comes into the IT world that is wired that way, right? There's only one solution to every problem. Now, the break I caught was I ended up going to a liberal arts college and took philosophy classes and English classes and political science classes and thought that there may be different ways to look at problems. And I think that's how we have to manage our workforce. We really have to have a diversity of thinkers. You need those people who are going to solve problems and who get the right answer, particularly in payroll, right? There's a right answer to certain questions, but you also need those creative thinkers, and you just have to find the balance of both.
So, go ahead, Ron.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say I'm already jealous of Mike's educational background. I think having that liberal arts perspective is incredibly important. My own background was much more on the business and technology, and I wish I had done, Mike, what you did, which is to get more of a general background and then augment that with a technical education. I think IT people are wired a bit differently. They're wired more akin to mathematicians and to scientists, to people who can look objectively at the world around them. But I also think there's great opportunity for innovation in that space. One of our employees, for example, is relatively new to the workforce. When he was an undergraduate, he placed number 4 in a global mathematics competition, and he did that twice in a row. And he is one of the most creative and innovative people that I know, and it's because he sees math as a way to open up the world and to express his creativity, which almost sounds to me, I'm not a mathematician, to be a kind of an interesting contradiction. But yes, I think IT people are wired differently, but we can use that for great good.
Also, the teenage mentality brings sometimes some people are territorial, or they form groups where they do not like to have anybody else from outside come in. So that could create silos within the organization. And even worse, if there is an M&A, how do you tell them to open up your group to embrace folks from totally a different organization to come in and, again, assimilate them and, again, retain that same teenage culture? Ron.
Well, I think any sort of merger or M&A activity, of course, starts with looking at how you're going to combine entities in a synergistic way. If the culture and the way things are done around here is not item number one or two on that list, then that merger undertaking is probably going to run through some rocky places. So I think that's a very important conversation that has to be had explicitly. And again, cultures are engineered and planned. They aren't just seen as an after effect of doing business. And it's worthy of executive attention to create and talk about and plan that culture, whether we're talking about running IT as a teenager or any other kind of cultural artifact.
That's a great point. And I think, you know, to your point, Sanjay, about, you know, IT people forming cliques like teenagers do, it's certainly true. And I think in leadership, obviously, there's these events that, you know, can force integration like an acquisition or a merger. But we as leaders also, you know, have an obligation to ensure that we're rotating people, that we're trying different teams, that we're trying different people in different roles, and that we're also bringing in, you know, the right talent from the outside along with promoting people from within to ensure that, you know, we're not letting those cliques become embedded in the organization. So, you know, we try to rotate people in and out of roles every few years at the most to ensure that, you know, they're not getting too comfortable with any one group of people or any one technology.
So when we are looking at these individuals and they are trying to go in dealing with different cultures, you know, one was that there are companies coming together and there's a, you know, different set of people coming together. Second is now they have to work with folks from different global locations. So now, would there truly be a culture that can be created across all those different business units which may be remotely located and where the different cultural aspects also are playing an important part while teenager remains a teenager, but would that be any roadblock to creating one unified homogeneous culture? Ron?
I think that's our chief challenge as leaders in our respective organizations. You know, Sanjog, you mentioned how do you do this in a global environment? And I think we need to understand that there's some pretty serious out-of-the-box thinkers in places like China and India. And as we explore business opportunities in those locations, we're looking at tapping into just the incredible amount of human capital that's available there. And, you know, we talk about teenagers as sort of being mavericks in an organization, if you will. Well, I think some of the really interesting work that's going on elsewhere on the globe makes that definition of maverick look pretty tame sometimes. And, you know, we're in that mix. We're constantly reminded that our only sustainable value proposition is to be able to learn faster than our competitors and to produce results faster than our competitors that can be guaranteed. Again, to me, it comes back to a quality issue. Discipline and teenage thinking go hand in hand. It's just that we need to channel that around extremely high quality of result in our particular case.
So just to add on to that, I have a lot of experience in this because my organization is global. We have people in India and Brazil and in China all around the world, and certainly building that one unified culture is a challenge. And what's interesting is I think, you know, teenagers today as they grow up and come into the workforce are a little bit better equipped than maybe we were to at least understand that there are cultural differences and, you know, and be able to at least grasp the concept. However, that ability to really respect cultural differences and be sensitive to the fact that the way that you work together in the U.S. might be different than the way that you work with somebody in India or China, that is an experiential learning that we have to make sure we're giving to our teams and we're providing opportunities to do that. That's just not something that can be born into an individual. So, you know, from our perspective, we have to put people through cultural sensitivity training and make sure that we get the best of all worlds. We get the strengths of every culture and then try to drive that, that universal culture across the organization around innovation and customer focus.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and look at the mantra that we are all being asked to follow, more with less. How conducive is that environment for a teenage to show their true potential? Are they wired to be able to always work with less? Yes, we used to give them pocket money, and that's how they used to kind of figure out a way to get most out of it, but is that totally the best way we can get the most out of them and always show them constraints? And does constraint always bring creativity, or does it reduce the overall potential of that workforce that you're trying to develop? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Do you need directions to solid financial future? If so, the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with a roadmap to making smart money decisions in every area of your personal finances. Join Jordan every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for the Money Answers Show on the Voice America Business Channel. Learn how and where to get the best deals on mortgages, cars, and insurance. Find out the best ways to save for college and retirement. Get out of debt, improve your credit rating, and save on your taxes. The Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with great tips on investment opportunities in real estate, stocks, annuities, and other investment vehicles. That's the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman on the Voice America Business Channel every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Adding fractions is nothing.
For real?
Look, these are denominators. You multiply this one so that it's the same as that, then you add them up.
Man, that's easy.
Charles Bennett dreamed of returning to the old neighborhood as a teacher, but without money for college, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A message from the UNCF and the Ad Council.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So we're talking about more with less. That's a mantra which is used by IT for years now, and we expect because of that constraint will come the creativity. But now we also want them to behave like teenagers, and I know teenagers don't like being constrained, especially with respect to resources. So is that the right approach for building a teenage type of IT organization, Mike?
Well, you know, I think, you know, the teenage organization is really, you know, it's a culture, it's a mindset, it's a behavior, right? And it's not necessarily constrained, by cost and, you know, and financial resources. You know, setting that culture of innovation and giving people the ability to think outside the box. You know, some of the best ideas we've had have come out of, you know, organizations that are, you know, more established and, you know, almost running our legacy applications, but they've come up with ways to, you know, refresh our technology or refresh the user interface or really delight our customers. And quite honestly, didn't cost us a dime. You know, so even though there may be budget pressures or, you know, other financial pressures, we've been able to innovate and give people the freedom to behave like teenagers, even with, you know, whatever budget constraints we might have.
Ron, so do you think we could give them less and get more out of them?
Well, I think that the expectations need to be set kind of in line with the amount of resources that you make available. When those get out of kilter, I think that's when frustration sets into an organization, and that is what prevents us from taking advantage of the natural curiosity and the passion that surrounds teenage kinds of thinking. I really do think that teenagers are incredibly inventive and incredibly innovative. And if you put a goal before them that they are passionate about, they will find any way that they possibly can to reach that goal. So our challenge as leaders is to set those situations up. I personally am invariably surprised at the level of creativity that I see coming back. I long ago realized that I didn't have all the answers. As a matter of fact, I think I have very few of them. But one of the things I can do as a leader is to create that environment that allows that creativity to pop.
Now, this change in leadership that can happen, and of course there would be people coming and going. Is this going to be a constant battle, or you can sit back and relax once in a while for the organization, and it'll take a life of its own? So whosoever comes in as an IT leader, if the leadership changes, or as people come and go, do you have to be constantly on top of it for you to maintain that teenage-style culture, or will the rest of the bunch of teenagers that you already have will make sure that this guy also becomes one? Mike.
So you mentioned the word relax. I'm not sure exactly what that word means, but conceptually, you know, again, culture should transcend any one person, any leader. That's not to say the tone isn't set from the top and you shouldn't lead by example. So, you know, certainly complacency is not a good management style. On the other hand, you know, again, if you're driving the behaviors, if you're leading by example, if your leadership team is leading by example, I do think that, you know, culture will transcend any one individual or even a flow in and out of leaders in the organization. And this, you know, this culture has to be supported not just by the IT organization, but at least the rest of the company needs to understand what's important and the goals that IT has set for itself to deliver for the organization. So, you know, in a good company, you would assume, like at ADP, that the overall organization supports the IT culture and the delivery that IT is providing. So I think you got to work at it, but I certainly think you can make it stick.
Ron?
I agree. An interesting example from here is that I'm fortunate enough to sit on the board of directors for Community Hospitals of Indianapolis, and that's a top 10 ranked community hospital organization nationally. We are about to lose, due to retirement, our CEO of 32 years, and I was chatting with him the other day, and I asked him, Bill, what's going to happen to Community Hospital when you retire? You've been running this organization for 32 years. What's going to happen? And he looked at me and said, Ron, absolutely nothing is going to happen because I've been working those 32 years to create an organization and a culture that will survive any one person's departure. And I thought, that's a great, that's kind of a great perspective and also a great life objective for us as leaders. And I absolutely agree with Mike. We need to be building that culture that is self-perpetuating, and we won't have to worry so much about what happens when we leave.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Ron and Mike, for sharing your thoughts about how we can build this culture and how can we run IT truly like a teenager ourselves and, of course, have all our crew follow the same pattern.
Thanks, Sanjog. It's been a pleasure, as always.
Thank you, Sanjog. I appreciate the conversation today.
Thank you so much, sir. And the word teenager, as we already know, is usually making us think of a rebellious and unruly and crazy being who wants to live in a world which allows him or her to do anything and anytime and anywhere. In order to fulfill this dream, this breed usually takes unconventional approaches. we can actually learn from them and incorporate some of their approaches, thinking, and actions in creating an IT organization that would deliver the same world to the business. They're allowed to get where basically they're allowed to get things done faster and can do it anytime and anywhere. Do you think you can run IT like a teenager and really change your organization for the better? Please send us your thoughts to views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Markets up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now toll free 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.